Today we're going to talk about men and what a man is and what a man is not, what a man should be and what a man should not be. And we'll go through a lot of that on Liberty Radio Live, but today there seems to be a severe problem with where are all the men? Where are the men that are supposed to be the bulwarks of society? The army of God, the soldiers of righteousness, the minutemen for justice. They aren't around very much. They're all preoccupied, and of course that's the way the evil one wants it, wants you all distracted, wants you all pursuing your own will and ways instead of God's ways. And he's doing a pretty good job of that. He's been leading you out in a number of different ways and a number of different methods since time began. On this day in history, we've seen a number of different things that have taken place. This is when LBJ said he wasn't going to run for another office, and it supposedly of the presidency, and that supposedly shocked the world. He did a great deal of damage while he was the president of the United States. He pushed this socialism agenda to the nth degree. He almost bankrupted the nation in his war on poverty, and then, of course, his war on Vietnam. And we see the same patterns going on through history, and this is always the way it goes when you elect someone to exercise authority over you. And actually what you're usually doing is you're voting to exercise authority over your neighbor, to regulate him, to control him, and in the case of socialism, to actually take his stuff away and put it at your disposal. This concept of socialism is coveting your neighbor's goods, and it brings society down in general. Other things that happened on this day in history was the Eiffel Tower was finished. It was created by Alexander Gustav Eiffel. And 9 years before, the first electric street lights were installed in Wabash, Indiana. You would think it would be somewhere else, but that's actually where it was first installed. And that has made a huge difference in society, is having these lights, this electricity that's operating the sound mechanism of this radio, and runs your refrigerator, runs the processing plants. We've got a couple of other shows coming up here with other guests. I'm going to have a debate next week on Paul. There's going to be, I just talked with Kevin Craig. He wants to come back on the show, and we're going to have to figure out where we're going to schedule him on that. I haven't got back to him yet. When would be the best time? We're also Coach Dave, and I never used the second name, Denmeyer, who's written a number of articles for News with Views, is hopefully going to come on the show, and maybe I'll come on his show. The debate that is going to take place is going to take place on RBN. And it will be on the subject of Paul the Apostle. Was he an apostate or was he an apostle? And there's even conjecture that he was the first pope. And, of course, not even the Roman Church claims that. But there's a little inscription on a church that is in Rome that was probably one of the first Christian churches. And it is dedicated to... by the builders of the church to Paul, and they call him Popa in one place. But this was actually his nieces that were calling him that, and he was raised on the knees of his nieces, it says in another place. And so that's really just a term of endearment. It was very common in those days to call people and put them in a position of a family member, especially of a family member had died, you would replace them with somebody else and give them that position and as a kind of an adoption. We see all the emperors were adopted by previous emperors, and that was how they got their shoe in the door. Annas, who had supposedly his daughter marry Caiaphas. It wasn't his actual real daughter. It was his spiritual daughter, because people were always adopting this person or that person and then letting them, it was a way of getting influence into other families because everything was centered around the family. Everything's not centered around the family anymore because of the fact that men have not been the men that God created. They have been remade in another image, and they've done part of that remaking themselves, but really what they did was they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then that gave a door to other evil influences to remake man in another image. If we go to Genesis 1:26, we see, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creepeth thing that creepeth upon the earth." This idea of creating man in our image, we see it again immediately. He repeats it in Genesis 27, verse of the first chapter. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." That idea that man includes male and female, or man and woman, both are men in the sense that they are both created in the image of God. But they have a distinction between each other, but the essence of their being is in the image of God, in according to the nature of God. But man's nature has fallen. It has changed. It has lost some of the attributes of God. And it goes on to say, "And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground." This idea of tilling the ground, we get the idea that because man sinned, he tills the ground. And actually, what we see in the Bible is one of the first commandments of God there in Genesis 2nd chapter, that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, these are translations. If you actually go to the Hebrew, it reads a little bit different, but when we read these words, we draw pictures of what it was like when God was creating man. Exactly how he did it isn't really expressed in the English translation. Even in the Hebrew, it leaves a lot to the imagination, and we have to always be careful we don't fill in all those gaps. But it says, "And the Lord God planted the garden eastward in Eden, and there put the man whom he had formed. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Now, that's a very important concept, that man has a job. This is what God gave us. Now, he gave us an identity. He created us in his image, and then he gave us a job. So, anyway, that's very important to understand, that there were already commandments that God was giving us in the beginning. One of the reasons why I picked this topic, because last week we did a show on woman. We have two of those radio shows already up at the archives at preparingyou.com. And so you can listen to them. And it's only fair that if we're going to do a show on woman, we should do a show on man. And my perspective on this is I blame most of the problems in the world on men, not on women. It is very common that because of this eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was another command that God gave us, this the not to eat of that tree. Now, he put that tree there. It's a source of something, but it's not a source that we should use for nutrition in the sense of guiding us. And what the tree of knowledge is really our own brains, our own minds. It is a storehouse of information. It is a receiver and signal device in our own bodies. It's full of electrical connections. It has a purpose, but it is not a source to guide you in your life. That's very important that it's not that source. And once it becomes that source, we see the Bible talking about what happened when Eve gave the fruit to her husband to eat, that a change took place. It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and in other words, a source, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now it says that it was pleasant to the eyes, and they desired it to make them wise. What does it say in Proverbs about wise in your own eyes? And that's exactly a number of people, you know, there's old comedy routines about people smoking marijuana, and the guy's talking really slow, and he's saying that marijuana helps him focus his attention, man. And really what it is it creates the illusion where you are wise in your own eyes. You are sharper in your own eyes, but you are actually duller and not quite as intelligent. And it's amazing the number of things that we do commonly in this society that actually dumbs down our children. I mean, besides sending them to public school, there's a lot of other influences, chemical influence, vaccinations, all these things are showing that they're lowering the IQ of children. The use of computers and computer games at a young age is not a good thing, that especially excessive. It's one thing if you introduce them to, so they see it and they understand how it works, but this excessive use for hours and hours and hours on end begins to set grooves in the mind that will cause a limitation of the thinking of the individual, and we do this. But we've already done it to ourselves, and that's because we are not eating of the tree of life, which is this Holy Spirit. Instead, we're eating of our own knowledge and calculations and imagination, and we have lost sight of the truth of what was to be. And when God made man, he saw that it was not right that man be alone. So he also made this woman. And it is the tendency of man to blame everything on the woman and not to take responsibility for himself. This idea is completely false and should not be done by us, but it has been done by us from the beginning. And that's really what the story of Adam and Eve is all about, that Adam did not take responsibility for his own choice. And that led to all kinds of problems. And he is continually trying to interpret the Bible so that he blames everything on the woman. You know, and that has just come down to us. And in reality, it's the man. The man was given the directive. Man was already supposedly the husband of the world and certainly husband to his wife. Flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. The eyes of them both were opened. And when their eyes were open, another eye was closed. The physical eye was opened in a way that it is now focusing on the world through its own mind. And the spiritual eye was closed, and he was no longer walking in the Spirit. And he was no longer living of this tree of life, which is the source of life is Spirit. Source of truth is Spirit. But now he's going to figure it out himself because his eye has been opened, but only in the realm of his own mental perception. So he is now wise in his own eyes, not really wise in the ways of creation. And it says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, it's very interesting that this same word that we see as fig leaves is also, same exact three-letter Hebrew word, is also translated lies. And it actually comes from a word, I don't know if I have that available, but I don't write at the moment. But anyway, the same exact three letters are also translated lies. And that's what man has been doing. He hasn't been making fig leaves to cover his nakedness. The nakedness has to do with lack of authority, lack of covering. When he ate of the tree of life, he had God guiding him, the Holy Spirit of God guiding him. When he turned his back on that and ate of the tree of knowledge, he's going to decide for himself what is right and wrong. He now was naked. He no longer had the covering of God, and he had to make his own covering. And it says fig leaves, but you could also translate that same word. He covered himself with lies. He started weaving a tapestry of lies to cover it up. And that's how we get to a point of a strong delusion today, is that we lie to ourselves about what is really going on. And that is why the liars of the world can deceive us so completely, because we are already liars. And so therefore, we have no rock, no foundation, no revelation, because we have closed our eyes to the tree of life, to that source of revelation, and we have decided to decide for ourselves. So then it goes on in Genesis 3:16 to say, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conception in sorrows. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, the word husband there is, it's a very interesting word. It actually is the word ish, which is translated man 1,002 times. It's translated men over 210 times. It's translated one, just the number one, 188 times. And that's, of course, you could probably put man there at that time and those places too, but it says this one or this man. And so, but that's really what the word means. But 69 times it's translated husband. And so what they're really saying there, and thy desire shall be to thy man, to thy husband. And what, actually, I believe what they're really saying is that she is desiring a husband, a man, that her husband will be a man. Because he wasn't a man when she gave him the fruit. Because if he was a man after God's own heart, when he was given this fruit to eat of this tree of knowledge, of deciding for yourself what is right and wrong, and cutting off God, if he was a real man, he would have said, put it down. We're not going there. We're not doing that. But he didn't do that. And she hasn't had a real man since, because he hasn't been the man that God made him. He did not stay true to the image of God and the direction of God. He turned his back on the direction of God. And real women who still love God are yearning for the days that men will turn back to God and eat of the tree of life, of the Holy Spirit, and be guided by that. This idea, he shall rule over thee, many men use that as a license to dominate their wives, to oppress their wives. That's not the case. He shall rule over you, because he's not being a real husband. If he was being a real husband, a real man, he would have shined the light of the Holy Spirit in that situation, and they would not have gone down that road, and all would be okay. But it hasn't been that way. We have fallen in nature, and the temptation is to fall in our nature, but we have the opportunity now turning around and going back. But men must become men in the image of God, with the character of God. And we one of the things, I'll give you a little glimpse into the Paul situation. We don't have a lot of time left. You know, everybody says that Paul says that we are saved by faith. And they act like, you know, he talks about the nail being, that law being nailed to the cross, and that we are saved by faith. And they created a whole doctrine around this of no works. We don't need any works because we're saved by faith. And but yet Paul goes and says in Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, which is another interesting word to study, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, another interesting word we should study because it doesn't mean what you think, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling. All these things, he talks about the works of the flesh. And what flesh is that? That's when you depend on your brain, that fleshy mass between your ears, to decide what is good and evil. And he goes on to say, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What's he talking about? All they have to do is have faith, right? You're saved by faith. It's not works. He's saying that if you do these things, you're not saved. And there's a long list of them. You don't have to do every one of them. You're not saved. I don't care what you tell me you believe. Paul's saying you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. You're not saved. Get it? Because of what you're doing. You're not going to be let in. He goes on to say, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. He's not talking about what you're supposed to try to emulate. He's talking about the fruit of the Spirit as opposed to the fruit of the flesh. The fruit of eating of the tree of life as opposed to eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Of that tree that is your own brain. Meekness, temperance, these are the fruits of that. If you're not meek and temperate, long-suffering, patient, you aren't saved because you're not eating of the tree of life. You have not let you have not let Christ into your heart. You just had some emotional experience where you said, I accept Jesus, but you didn't really accept Jesus, because if you really accept Jesus, we'd see this fruit. Had a man yelling and screaming obscenities at his wife when he was on the phone to me, trying to talk me into letting him come out here and work with us. He needed to become a husband to his wife. As Christ was to the church, that's what husbands should be, self-sacrificing, men of love. But they aren't. They are something else. And we're going to see what we can do about that. And talk more about that on LibertyRadioLive.com right after Blog Talk.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.